View from the C-suite is brought to you by Altron, technology partners in your digital transformation journey. For more info, visit altron.com. Altron, there when it matters.
This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Time for your view from the C-suite in partnership with Altron, bringing you closer to the business leaders around the boardroom table. Now, I got to know my next guest a little bit on a recent trip to Poland with a large group of property analysts. We went to go and kick the bricks of the company's Polish retail property assets. Hadley Dean, he's got more than almost three decades of real estate experience. He's the CEO of EPP. It's Poland's largest retail real estate company, JSE and Dutch listed. It's got a strategic goal to consolidate the Polish shopping center market, and he runs a Mean Finds meeting. Evening, Hadley. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm very good.
Now, you studied a Bachelor of Science in Agriculture, Food and Marketing at the University of Newcastle upon Tyne. So, a few things. Firstly, how does one go from agriculture to property?
Well, that's a good question. Look, I think when I was growing up, it was actually I was very interested in the countryside, and I was very interested in the land, and I thought that, I was also interested in food and marketing, so it sounded like the perfect degree. But as often when you're 17, 18, you're not entirely sure on what you want to do. And within 2 years, I realized that actually that wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to spend a little bit more time understanding sort of real estate and getting to know property.
When did you first dip your toe into the property waters, so to speak? Do you remember exactly when that was?
It was in the summer of 1993. And I did a 1 month like a secondment with one of the real estate brokerage houses in London. And that was it.
Now, Newcastle upon Tyne, are you a Geordie? Is that where you grew up?
Well, funnily enough, over 150 years ago, yes, we were Geordies. But most of my family live just outside London. But it's a great, I don't know how well you know Newcastle, but the Geordies are fantastic people.
Yeah, they are fantastic people. I've got a few mates who are dyed-in-the-wool Geordies and long-suffering Newcastle fans as well. Shame. My thoughts do go out to them. Now, if you were to describe your leadership style, and I've pulled this from your LinkedIn page, so please excuse me, and it's not really to embarrass you, but Scott Addison, who's president of brokerage services at Colliers International Canada, where you served as a managing partner at Colliers, calls you an inspirational leader who takes a hands-on approach and truly cares about making your people better. How would you describe your leadership style?
It's almost difficult to talk about yourself, but I'm very much of the opinion that you want to, the triangle needs to be upside down. You know, the good ideas typically come from the people on the floor. And I think management teams, you know, usually are the killers of good ideas, because typically what happens is people, let's say, bring ideas up through, let's say, the ranks of the company. And management teams, if it's not their idea, have a tendency of just killing the good ideas. And I think basically what management teams need to do is to, their job is to listen to the good ideas, and when we find good ideas, help repopulate them across the company. And I've always held that view. So I believe in a very, very flat system.
And that's certainly the system you're employing currently at EPP. You're also one of those sort of larger-than-life characters, a big personality, as they say. You received the award in 2017 at Eurobuild Awards for the Real Estate Personality of the Year. And I'm sure as part of your corporate life, you've received sort of many sage bits of advice. What stands out for you over the last almost three decades now that you've been working in the property game?
Yeah, you know, I actually got some great advice yesterday. That I think integrity is absolutely at the core of who we are and what we do. And I think, you know, when I'm speaking to a lot of the, you know, to younger executives, sometimes people, you know, I take sort of, let's say, shortcuts. And that often catches up with people. And doing the right thing at the right time, it should be much more than just how you're brought up. It should be very much in the DNA of who you are. So I'd say integrity, that's something that I focus a lot on with my teams.
It's sadly in short supply, as we see so many corporate governance scandals in South Africa lately. So something that I think we all need to focus on returning to. You spent 13 years living in Poland while you were working at Colliers that I referenced earlier, and you helped build that business and then run the Central and Eastern European operations. Were you headhunted by EPP back in 2017? 2016? How did that go?
Yeah, it was after spending some 13 years of being a sort of a corporate waller, I decided that I wanted to be more of an entrepreneur. So I joined an outfit called Compass Offices, and I became their partner in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. And we were going to roll out a serviced office platform. And what was interesting about that is that it was a great team that was assembled. But sadly, 6 months in, the owner of the company decided to have a change of strategy. And at that point, I was approached by Mark and Andrew to be the CEO of a company that they had just, let's say, had bought. They flew me down from my farm in Wales, down to Cape Town and also to Johannesburg. And we got on very well. The rest is history.
Yeah, Mark Wehner and Andrew Koenig there, just for those who might not be 100% sure who you're talking about. And the rest is history. What you've set about doing is establishing a retail giant in Poland. And you are quite passionate about the whole Polish story, having obviously lived there for over 15 years now, Hadley. What is it about the country that sees the Poles as a sort of Central European tiger? You've got GDP growth last year, 5.1%. What we would give for that in South Africa. It's got consistently low unemployment. It's now the sixth largest economy in the EU. And in fact, last year, it formally entered developed market status in the FTSE Russell Index. So not bad for a once struggling communist-ruled backwater of Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what I love about Poland, actually, is its people. Typically, the way they kind of got through the former sort of, let's say, the Soviet occupation was by meeting and talking a lot, actually, sort of in church. And there's a real sort of sense of right and wrong and decency that you find in Poland that you simply just don't get in the UK anymore. And what I love about the Poles is their passion for change. You know, things aren't changing. If things aren't moving, you know, they get really frustrated where, you know, I don't know what it's like in South Africa, but certainly in the UK, I mean, you have to sort of sit down and have 15 cups of tea before everything changes.
Bumble along, I think they call it, as we're seeing with Brexit.
Exactly. And I think, you know, with Brexit, Poland's importance and relevance within the EU clearly will strengthen. And, you know, what we've talked about when you were in Poland was that, you know, the relevance of Poland and the way that the 17 different governments have managed the economy over the last 28 years has been very relevant because they've all known the direction they were going in. It was they were going to the West and all of the governments have looked after the economy. And hence it sits with a GDP to debt ratio of, you know, 50%. And, you know, the consumer-led demand, the emergence of this middle class that is coming through and spending like sort of normal Western European consumers, it's just a pleasure to witness.
Yeah, and that's also why retail is such a resilient sector there. But why in particular shopping malls and not the sort of high streets that we see elsewhere in Europe?
It's a very good question, and it comes from actually the history of the Soviet occupation and the Second World War. Because what happened in the Second World War was most of the city centres were destroyed. And then with the Soviet occupation, they brought in their sort of state-run shops. So most of the shopping was done in these sort of awful sort of former Soviet sort of shops. And a lot of the shopping was done in outdoor open-air markets. So really what happened back in 1990 through to today is that you've got this sort of progressive development of shopping centers. And shopping centers have always been seen by Poles as a leisure activity. It's not just to go and buy a pair of jeans and go home. It's where you meet your families and friends. It always has been a destination. And it's cemented by the fact that there are basically no high streets in Poland.
Now, when you look at the trends in the Polish property market, what sort of trends are you seeing that either excite or worry you currently where we find ourselves today in 2019 in an environment where Germany is slowing down and the Polish economy is rather dependent on Germany to an extent? What either worries or excites you about Polish property at the moment?
Well, I think, you know, the German economy is obviously very, very linked to the Chinese economy. So if China has a slowdown, which it is, you know, there will be an impact in Germany. And of course, a lot of, you know, 25% of our manufacturing goes to Germany. But, you know, what we saw in the last financial crisis was companies then, Western European companies, had to cut costs in order to maintain their profit levels and margins. And what they did is they did that by cutting expensive jobs and moving manufacturing and back office and mid office jobs to Poland. So I think, you know, in the worst case scenario, we'll see our GDP drop to 2 to 2.5%, which I actually think is not a bad thing anyway for Poland. But in the medium term, I think Poland will benefit just like it did from the 2008 crisis.
Very interesting. And some of the trends that were picked up by the analysts on that tour early on in the year related to, or some of the concerns perhaps related to that Sunday trading ban and the impact that that might have, more broadly perhaps political concerns, as we have seen a resurgent sort of populism take hold all over Europe, and whether or not that might impact the politics in Poland. And then lastly, I think in the three broad buckets, the level of debt in the capital structure and your funding sources. How have you addressed those three?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the Sunday trading, so this year in the first half of the year, we had 17 Sundays closed versus 7 Sundays closed in H1 2018. But yet we've seen a 2% increase in footfall. So pretty much the consumer has changed their habits away from Sundays and just basically, you know, they're doing their food shopping and their clothes shopping on a different day. So in fact, we haven't actually lost customers. In fact, we've gained customers. In terms of the government, I mean, I think just to reinforce my previous point is that, you know, this government does typically sort of shoot itself in the foot with its PR. But actually, some of the things that it's doing is, you know, it's with Poland in the last 3 years has seen some of the biggest redistribution of wealth from the wealthy to the poorer members of society. And I think that's a really good thing by bringing in this child allowance scheme. They've just extended that child allowance scheme now to their first child. So that's 120 euros per child per month you now get. And this is probably since the Second World War, the biggest redistribution of wealth. And I think that's really important, because what you see in Europe now is, you look at the yellow vests in France, look at what's happening in the UK, it's that bottom 10% of the economy is just being left behind, really by artificial intelligence. But of course, it's much easier to blame migrants. So I think Poland is doing a good job in that sense. And the final point was, what are we doing with our capital structure? Well, what we said right at the beginning of this year was this was a year not necessarily to grow our DPS, but to reduce our LTV. And that is exactly what we've done. So we've brought our LTV down by 2.1 percentage points, now to below 50. And we will continue to attract new investors to help us do that.
And part of that deal that you announced, was it back in June, I think, with Henderson Park, seems to be located within that strategy broadly.
Absolutely. So Poland, as you mentioned, has been just upgraded to developed market status. So what we're now seeing is a different type of profile of an investor that's now circling and looking to invest in Poland. And typically, these investors want joint venture partners. And I think we're very well positioned to be the joint venture partner.
Hadley, just as we approach the end of our time together, what word of advice would you have for anyone who's thinking about dipping their toes into the world of commercial property, perhaps hasn't started out just yet on their career? If you were to look back and say, well, this is the advice I would have given myself back in 1993.
Well, the biggest advice, I think it's all relevant, and it's not just for property, is be very wary of, you know, younger people who claim to have a profound knowledge of Excel and think the world revolves around Excel. The mistakes I see people make from these sort of, you know, these property analysts in, let's say, and I'm talking more about financial analysts in terms of, you know, when you're looking at how to actually fund a property. What if they don't understand the fundamental of basically how property works, and you just can't replace that gray hair experience. And I think that's the same in every industry. And it always worries me when I, you know, see younger people basically wandering around with their Excels and pretending they rule the world.
Well, they've been called these models weapons of maths destruction for a good reason, Hadley. And with that, that's all the time we do have for tonight's View from the C-Suite. Great catching up with you, and I look forward to grabbing a beer with you sometime soon, Hadley. Take care.
Absolutely. Many thanks.
That was Hadley Dean, the CEO of EPP, sharing his view from the C-Suite, brought to you by Altron, technology partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit them at altron.com. Altron, there when it matters.
View from the C-Suite was brought to you by Altron, technology partners in your digital transformation journey. For more info, visit altron.com. Altron, there when it matters.
I've been with you from the very beginning. I watched as you connected to your world with a feeling of wonder. I was there as you learned, and later when you earned. I was there on the best day of your life, and when that life drew full circle. I've been there all along, and I always will be. Ultron, there when it matters. Visit ultron.com for more information.